Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. On this Black Friday, we're listening back to some of our favorite conversations about money. And if you've been out buying today, or if you've been avoiding shoppers like the plague, how do you think about how much it is you spend? And what influences your attitudes about money? Well, there's a good chance that no one ever really formally taught you how to deal with your finances, whether it be via television or word of mouth or maybe a little parental guidance or even the internet. On average, financial education in America is patchy at best. So back in 2012, we held a roundtable on financial literacy and the lack thereof. It included Margaret Miley, strategic advisor of the Midas Collaborative, Thais DeMarco, director of economic opportunity at the Somerville Community Corporation, and then undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation, Barbara Anthony. Anthony's office had just surveyed 400 Massachusetts consumers to find out how much people actually know about their finances. And as Barbara Anthony told us, there are significant gaps.
First of all, let me say that we in Massachusetts think we know a lot about everything. I think that's probably true.
Sometimes we're right about
that. But sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But, you know, I think that the general level of financial awareness was pretty good, but the gaps were significant. And I think, that significance is important. So one of the things that surprised me was this. 9 out of 10 people said that they manage carefully or very carefully their personal finances. Oh, so you think that's pretty good, 9 out of 10. Then we asked them how many people pull their credit report once a year. That came down to 1 out of 2. So you get 9 out of 10 saying we manage our personal finances very carefully, but yet only 1 out of 2 consumers pull the report.
And 34% say they never do.
And 34%, that's a third at least, saying that they never do. That's very disconcerting. But, so I had this conversation with some friends, very well-educated, savvy people, and they said, well, I never pull my credit report. What does that have to do with the way I manage my personal finances? Good question. It has the following. First of all, how do you know there aren't any mistakes on your credit report that may affect your credit score or your ability to borrow money from a lender, number one, or do other things? Number two, how do you know someone hasn't stolen your identity and is taking out credit in your name? The bill's not going to come to you because that's not how the thieves work. The bill's being sent somewhere else. So you don't know if there's a mistake that could hurt you. You don't know whether somebody has committed identity theft. You can't really have control over your personal finances unless you know those things.
Okay, so there's a gap there between what we think we know and what we should know.
That's right.
So you've also done some, you also asked people some questions about, say, financial products that are available to them, banking products, and that was trying to get at how much do we know about what's out there in terms of, how we can do basic banking. And what'd you find?
Exactly. Well, we've got Massachusetts, we've got some great banking laws here with respect to financial services products for low-income people, for young people, and for seniors. The 1865 law. If you're 65 or older, 18 or younger, you get one free checking and one free savings account at a Massachusetts state chartered bank. We found that I think it was only 52% of the people we surveyed knew that. So that means 48%, let's just say 50-50. So 1 out of 2 people in the state don't know that if they're 18 or younger or 65 or older, they can get a free checking and savings account from their community banks.
Does that make you think that a lot of people are using financial products that they're essentially overpaying for?
Oh, well, absolutely. You're absolutely. If you could get a free checking account, and you're paying for a checking account, and it's not giving you things that you really, that they're giving you things maybe that you don't need, then you are overpaying for that product. The thing that tells me that people are doing is that they don't know that this product is available for free. They also, I'm assuming that the same would be true. We have something called basic banking products here in Massachusetts for low-income people. 91 banks have signed on to this service voluntarily. You get, for $36 a year, you get 8 checks a month and 15 withdrawals a month. A very good deal, particularly for low-income people. Now, we didn't ask that specific question here, but my bet is that if you get that kind of a response on the 1865 question, that people are similarly not informed about these basic banking services.
So I want to peel back sort of the different layers of the financial world that this survey reveals to us. But I also want to ask you a couple of your big picture takeaways. I mean, it seemed as if there was some correlation across the answers between, say, how much people, again, these are self-reported, right? So how much people say they knew or how proactive they were, and income level.
That's correct. I think we found that generally higher income levels, higher educational levels, and also older folks in the survey seem to have a greater depth of knowledge in terms of their financial products and services. You know, I say sometimes with age goes wisdom. Maybe I say that because I won't mention that why. But at any rate, I think that's probably true. As you get older, you learn more. Obviously, you've had more experience. But the income piece, I think, is troubling. And the fact that maybe, you know, younger people across the board were not as well informed as they are should be.
But on the other hand, okay, it may make sense that with age and income, you get a higher correlation of people who say they think they know more about money and how and their financial picture. But the world of finance and finances is so complicated these days. I mean, is that basically a facile conclusion here? Like that is the truth that, quite frankly, we're not sure that anyone knows enough.
Well, all we know is how the data correlated. So, and I know you weren't accusing us of being facile, but that's how the data correlated. And I think that, you know, you may have more experience with more sophisticated financial products the higher your income. I mean, there may be reasons for that. But I think that generally, like I said, you know, the 9 out of 10 who say we manage our finances carefully or very carefully, yet 1 out of 2 never pull a credit report. And that was across all income groups. So I think that no matter your income group, no matter your educational level, there are gaps here that are troubling. You know, we see foreclosures, not to switch the subject completely, but we see foreclosures in the market across all income groups, mm-hmm. you know, and those products are complex. And we see them among all educational groups. I mean, you go to foreclosure events and you meet nurses and city councilors and accountants and people from all income strata. So I think, you know, you're correct, Magda. It's not, certainly is not relegated to any particular income group.
Margaret Miley, I mean, as a member of the Mietis Collaborative, this is sort of what you're thinking about, is how to get people more financially stable and literate. Do you think that, as Barbara Anthony was talking about, increased awareness is a part of it? I mean, it seems to me that by the time people are earning money or might be dealing with the questions of their 401k, it's a whole other world we're going to get into in a moment. It's almost, I don't want to say it's too late, but can't we start earlier in terms of financial literacy?
Absolutely. It seems to be a multifaceted need, and so we should have a multifaceted approach. And as Secretary Anthony is saying, there are a lot of us trying to coordinate around providing credible, non-vendor-specific information on finances for people at all parts of their lifespan.
So non-vendor-specific meaning it's not a product that someone's trying to sell you.
Exactly. So we want to have neutral information around out and available that is very consumer protective, and we're very realistic in terms of understanding that people reach out for information at the particular time that they need it. So there's not a mother of a 2-year-old who's doing as much looking at college options as the mother of the 15-year-old, for example. And people aren't thinking about their 401ks when they're 12 years old either. So we're really trying to correlate the information and the services with the lifespan of the people as they're moving through their lives.
Thais DeMarco, let me ask you, you're actually working with people directly at Somerville Community Cooperation. What, when they come to you, what are the kind of questions that they ask? Are you surprised or not surprised by how much they may not know when they first come in to your organization?
I've been doing this for almost 6 years now, so I'm not surprised anymore. I think one of the key things about financial education is that, and this sounds silly when I say it, but it's so true, people don't know what they don't know. And so when you ask people, are you doing everything you can for your finances, often they will say, yes, of course I am, because they don't really know what the steps are that they need to be taking. So people come to us with all kinds of questions. They come to us with issues with credit. They come to us when they're trying to buy a home and they need to deal with credit. There are several different things that they come to ask.
And so how do you, I mean, what are the first steps that you take to sort of walk people through things and get them to a place of greater financial literacy?
We have a comprehensive intake that we do with everybody to try to assess their situation overall and what kinds of needs they have. And then based on that intake, we direct them to one of our classes, maybe our one-on-one counseling. We do offer financial literacy classes that are actually really comprehensive. It's 6 weeks, 18 hours total. So we spend a lot of time with folks talking about it.
And, you know, Margaret Miley was saying that you don't often, say, get a mother of a two-year-old who's coming in, maybe unless she's thinking about applying for a mortgage. You know, it just seems that people's interest and desire to know about their financial, personal financial well-being sort of peaks around these big moments in life. Is that what you're seeing, that it's need that really drives this, rather than an overall sense as to, hey, maybe I need to, for the rest of my life, be on top of my financial picture?
Financial education isn't or it doesn't seem like the most exciting thing you could do on, say, a Monday night, although I would disagree. Our classes are very exciting. So I think that's why we see people coming to us in crisis mostly, although we've done a lot of work at the Somerville Community Corporation to make sure that people hear about the service before they get to a point of crisis, so that they know that it's there.
To my mind, it seems that there couldn't be anything more relevant in terms of what people need to know than how to manage their finances. There are some efforts on this front, Margaret Miley, are there not?
Absolutely. A group of nonprofits, governmental agencies, and financial institutions and other corporations got together to form what was called the Massachusetts Financial Education Collaborative in the last couple of years. A lot of folks are involved in it. One thing we've really been pushing is this idea of universal access to financial education in the K-12 system.
Barbara Anthony, we just got about a minute to go, but I do have to ask you, you are part of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. We've been talking about individual responsibility and trying to teach people how to manage their own finances better, but I do wonder, the products themselves are getting so much more complicated every single year. Is there not room for, in this financial literacy conversation, to get businesses to, quite frankly, simplify what they're offering people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a two-way street. Businesses have to do their job in terms of more compact, fairer, clearer disclosures. I have to say one last thing, though.
Just got a couple seconds, but you can
squeeze
it
in. Free annualcreditreport.com. Don't go to those folks. They will charge you money. Go to annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com.
Amen.
For a free credit report. Forget that jingle.
Actually, I'm glad I'm glad you did that, because that was going to be my last thought. But annualcreditreport.com.
It is the only federal government authorized free credit report website. Forget all the others.
That was Barbara Anthony, then the Undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. You also heard from Margaret Miley, Strategic Advisor at the Midas Collaborative, and Thais DeMarco, Director of Economic Opportunity at the Somerville Community Corporation. We spoke with them back in 2012 after the Undersecretary had released a survey on how much Massachusetts residents know about their finances. By the way, the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation has since changed administrations, of course, and it doesn't do these surveys anymore. We reached out to them, and they said they're focusing on other issues. Coming up, the biggest money of them all, the former chairman of Bank of America on Too Big to Fail. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Give me back credit, buy me back.